It doesn't take an extraordinary experience to make health feel like an extraordinary blessing. Even the smallest, most ordinary moments are sacred. It's Mission Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
Did you know that colorectal cancer is the second leading cause of cancer-related deaths in the United States? My guest is Dr. Pune Rahimi. She's a gastroenterologist with Mission Hospital. Welcome to the show, Dr. Rahimi. Tell us, how common is colorectal cancer?
Good morning, Melanie. First of all, I'd like to thank you for inviting me to this show. And I'd like to use this opportunity and let everyone know that this month of March, is the Colon Cancer Awareness Month. March 7th was the Colon Cancer Awareness Day, so this is a good time to talk about this. Colon cancer is the third common cancer in America. However, it's the second most common cause of cancer death related in America. Worldwide, again, it's the second most commonly diagnosed cancer in women and third most commonly cancer diagnosed in men. About 600,000 deaths occurred in 2008, and over the last several years, by means of colon cancer screening, we have been able to reduce 10% in death rates, and this is due to availability of different modalities for colon cancer screening.
So what are some of the risk factors that someone might know about that would send up a red flag, something that, would make them more aware of this than they might otherwise be?
Okay. Well, what how we figure this out is by a couple of things. There are several types of people. There are people who have average risk for colon cancer, and basically the risk factor for these people would be age, gender. So starting from age 50, no matter what, if you have any symptoms or not, we try to check for colon cancer. Okay. If you have family history of colon cancer or colon polyps, family history or personal history of inflammatory bowel disease, again, it puts you at risk for colon cancer when we start screening you sooner than age 50. But the number one thing that we worry about in an average risk person is age. So if you're more than age 50, you need to get a colonoscopy if you don't have any risk factors. Moderate risk would be someone who has personal history of adenomatous polyp, which is a precancerous polyp, or if they have family history of colon cancer in their first degree relative, meaning their mothers, fathers, and siblings, blood siblings. Then another category is high risk. These are people who have some genetic syndrome, such as Lynch syndrome, personal history of familial adenomatous polyposis. Okay, and these are people who are considered high risk. So we start them at age earlier than 50. Okay.
So if somebody is worried about this, what symptoms might they notice? We're going to talk about prevention and screening, but what symptoms might they notice that would send them to see you?
Okay. So again, if you're 50, whether you have symptoms or not, you'll need to get a colonoscopy. But symptoms that alert you to come and see a gastroenterologist or see your primary doctor to send you to a gastroenterologist is, number one, abdominal pain. About 44% of people with colon cancer experience pain. About 43% of people experience change in their bowel habits. So if your stool is normally regular, if you start having diarrhea or constipation, if the stool caliber, meaning the size of your stool, is getting smaller, then that's something to be concerned about. 40% of people present with bleeding. This is either rectal bleeding, when you see fresh red blood in your bowel movement, or if you see black stool, we call that melena. That could be a sign of right side colon lesions. Weakness accounts for about 20% of people. Anemia without any symptoms has been found in 11% of people who present with colon cancer. And weight loss without trying to lose weight has been seen in about 6% of people who present with colon cancer.
So the best form of screening that we have today is a colonoscopy. Now, Dr. Rahimi, many people are afraid. They're afraid of getting a colonoscopy. I get one every 3 years. You know, I think they're nothing. I feel cleansed afterwards, maybe even drop a few pounds just for the day. but it's really the prep they're afraid of. Explain the whole procedure for us, if you would, please, and let them know how scary this is not.
I do probably about 10, 15 colonoscopies a day. And just to see how it feels like, a few years ago I decided to get a colonoscopy. And I'm like, this is the easiest thing. I don't know what people complain about. When I started getting ready, then I realized it's not as simple as it is. First of all, you're going to be on a one day of clear liquid diet, and you don't realize how much we eat. So being on a day of clear liquid diet is a little bit challenging. As far as preparation, you have to go through a cleanse, and there are different type of cleanses. We have Go Lightly, which is a gallon of solution, which doesn't taste really good, issue is that a lot of people get nauseous and they're not able to finish the whole prep. However, we have smaller volume preps now. There are some over-the-counter, some prescription that makes it a little bit easier for patients. So nothing fits all. I think this is a procedure that you need to sit down with your doctor and see what prep is best for you. But luckily, these days, we have so many options. We have pill preps. We have low-volume preps. And we have large-volume preps. But you could sit down with your physician, discuss your concern, and that will be taken care of. The most important thing is you need to have clean prep, because if the prep is not good, we will not be able to look at the lining of your colon and we could miss polyps. And that's one of the things that we really fear, that we do a colonoscopy and we may miss tiny polyps or flat polyps. And that's one of the problems that we are dealing with in these days with colon cancer screening. They have mentioned in the literature that up to 7% of polyps can be missed, and then one of the most important thing is the prep, the quality of prep. So again, it could be individualized based, so if you go for colonoscopy, sit down, talk to the doctor, express your concerns, and the best fit can be chosen for you.
So the real hardest part, in my opinion, is the prep and that day of liquid diet. I always, you know, tell people they can use consomme, beef consomme, and chicken broth. Those are nice. Mm-hmm. They make you feel full. And jello, yellow jello and green jello. They say not to use red jello, you know, but jello and consomme, tea, black mm-hmm. coffee. You can do that liquid diet for
Absolutely.
The day. It's not that hard.
Yes. I always tell people, as long as you see through the cup, you could drink it. So chicken broth, beef broth, vegetable broth, ginger ale, coconut water. Milk is not recommended. A lot of people get headache and they feel dehydrated because they don't drink enough fluid. I tell people you could have tea or coffee, but make sure there is no cream in it. A lot of people get caffeine headache. So whatever you need to do, do it. Hydration plays a very important role, and the more liquid you drink, it flushes your colon out, makes you feel better, especially when you go for the procedure. They need to put an IV line in you. If you're dehydrated, they will not be able to find your IV line. So the key is hydration. A, it helps you have a cleaner prep. B, you feel better about yourself. And I agree with chicken broth. It has a little bit of fat and protein in it, keeps you going throughout the day, especially if you heat it up, you feel like you're actually having some soup. But again, nothing should be solid. It has to be see-through. And red is one of the things that we tell people to avoid, because sometimes the color of red could look like blood, and then we do a colonoscopy, we see red stuff, and we don't know where it's coming from. You end up getting additional testing, such as endoscopy, evaluation of small bowel, which are all unnecessary. So make sure you don't have anything red.
Now, we don't have a lot of time, Dr. Rahimi,
sure.
But what I've always found is then, you know, you have the IV, you're out before you know it. It takes seconds, mere seconds, to be out. And then you wake up and you're like, when are you going to start? And then it's done. So you've done the colonoscopy. It's a very quick, easy procedure. What happens if you do find polyps and we don't have a lot of time?
Okay, and we remove them. There are different ways to remove the polyps. We never leave any polyps behind unless they are very large and they need to have certain other treatment. But majority of time, I would say about 98% of time, I'm able to remove all the polyps. They will be sent to another physician called a pathologist, depending on the size and type of polyp, will make recommendation for when the patient has to come back. But as soon as you finish the procedure, you will know what are the findings in your colon. If you had polyps, if you had diverticulosis, if you had any inflammation in your colon, ulceration, hemorrhoids, and then if you have anything removed, then it takes about a week or so to get the result, and we usually discuss that with the patient.
In just the last minute, please, Dr. Rahimi, your best advice for people considering a colorectal cancer screening in the form of a colonoscopy?
In terms of, what do you mean?
Your best advice about colorectal cancer and preventing it.
Don't delay it. I have seen many people come younger than age 50 with different symptoms, and they have polyps that if they were not removed, they would have become cancerous. It's something that's preventive. This is a lethal and common condition, so by doing preventive tests, you will save your life. You will prevent having surgery, chemotherapy, and also if you have any polyps, your family could be screened. So not only you're doing this for yourself, you're doing it for your close one too. So my recommendation is if you're at age 50 with no family history, or if you're younger with other risk factors, do get your colonoscopy. It's a simple test. It's inconvenient, but it's a test that will save your life.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Mission Radio. For more information, you can go to missionforhealth.com. That's missionforhealth.com. And in this National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, it certainly is the time to consider a colonoscopy, just as Dr. Rahimi has said. This is Melanie Cole for Mission Radio. Thanks for listening.